somebody asked me this morning about the idea of life without God. And I need to tell you that I understand part of the question that came at that point. There could be no life without God because God created life. It's that simple. That God created everything that we know, seen, and unseen. God created each of us. Through our mothers, we were created to be the people we are now. Through our fathers. That we are people of God, whether we know it or not. Whether we believe it or not. God is with us. But people make choices. And one of those choices is to live a life without God. Think about what that means. When you did the 23rd Psalm. And if I decide to live without God, then I need to understand that I'm my own shepherd, and I don't want it. That I can lie down in the green pastures, and I can be by the still waters. Nobody needs to restore my soul, because if I don't believe in God, I probably don't believe in myself. And as far as the right paths, I decide that. I decide the paths that I take. And it's for my name's sake, not God's. Even though I walk through this valley of darkness or death, I'm not too worried. I'm not sure I've got a soul. I'm not sure there's an afterlife. And I certainly can do it alone. I do everything else on my own. I don't need God. As far as my enemies go, I'll take care of them. My head, I'll put the oil on it myself. And if I've got a cup, I'll pour it in, pour it full. And if it overflows, that's okay. As far as goodness and mercy, yeah, goodness and mercy are something that are in me, but I expect it from other people. I don't expect to give either one, because I decide my life. I don't have to do those things. As far as the house of the Lord, I won't dwell there. I won't dwell there now, and I will not dwell there after I die. Life without God. Making choices on our own. Allowing those choices to create havoc, if you will, within our lives. Think about what we see going on, what we fear. We are Christians who believe in God, whom God has touched with the Holy Spirit, that we could be part of Jesus' sheep and hear His word and understand that He is the living God. That He, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one, and they are with us, and they take us where we need to go. We'll follow. One of the issues that, for me anyway, is that I have to be careful. It's so easy for me to say, yeah, but it looks so much better over there. It looks so much easier over there. I can go over there, Lord, and that over there, that's a wreck. But over here, look at the pretty houses. You know, there's some green grass. Can't I go over there for a while? And the Lord says, no, guess what? This way. And sometimes I take the steps over to that other place. I don't quite follow the direction that the Lord wants me to take, and I know He wants me to take in my heart. And part of that is because of the fact that each day I have to be careful to be thinking about the Lord. I think I've shared, I'm not sure I've shared it with you, when I, my first charge in Denver, one of the congregationals, the elders said, hey, how about doing a sermon on sin? I said, well, I can do that. And I thought about how I was going to do it, so I thought, well, I'll just go around for one full day and I'm going to write down all the sin that I see. And so I got out a yellow tablet, big one, legal size. And I thought, well, I have to write down any sins that I have, too. And so I got a 3x5 card for that. And I drove around, and so I was going down 14th Street. If you're ever in Denver, you're going down 14th Street. It's a one-way street, major thoroughfare, three lanes, and lights about every other block. And at Colfax, there's a major light, and you've got six lanes going the other direction across there. I'm going down 14th Street, just barely had pulled out of the church, and just getting on my way to go looking for sin. And I looked up and the light turned yellow, and it was obvious I wouldn't get through in time before it turned red, so I stopped. Light turned red. Two cars on my left go zooming through. Two cars on my right go zooming through. And I hear this horn behind me honking as loud as it can. And here's this lady telling me what her IQ is. And I wrote it down. It was a sin. First of all, that's great. There's five right there, right? And two of them that broke the law, and then whatever happened behind me. I drove around, and here's this lady that she's spanking her child on the corner. Whoa, you know, that's going to be a sin. And going along, and there are people that it's an area of, it's the red light area of Denver, if you will. Lots of gang stuff going on, lots of drugs. And so I'm writing all these things down. I keep going. And I got back to the office and I thought, wow, can I give a sermon on this? Look at all this sin. I had pages and pages and pages of sin that I'd seen and everything. And I sat there and I thought down, I thought for a minute. And I said, I've been so. What about my sin? I need to tell them what that was. And on that card, I wrote, did not think about God once. I was so busy worrying about everybody else's sin and getting ready for that sermon that I didn't think about God. I didn't think about the fact that I needed to be generous. I needed to be loving. That instead of being in my car rolling around writing down things, that I needed to be out there on the street talking with people. That I needed to be in prayer for those people that need prayer. I needed to reach out and touch the people that needed to be touched. My mind needed to be on God. And it needed to be on God all the time. Not just the few minutes every Sunday, but every day. That as I do things, I need to think about the fact that, is this what God would like me to be doing? And it's what I'm doing, furthering God's word. And I don't mean that I got to be out there saying, look, God sent me over here to shake your hand. Good. There you go. But I can go over there and say, good morning, and shake a person's hand. That when I see somebody in pain or crying, that I go up to them and say, are you all right? You know you're loved. And if they respond, I can say, you know who loves you? God loves you. Jesus loves you. But I can see a person that looks like they're in despair, and I can say, there's hope. Lord, lead me to those people. There's hope. And I know I'm going to get a certain amount of rejection. Jesus got the rejection. He handled it. He went to the cross. Talk about rejection. But Jesus, with us in the Holy Spirit, will guide us if we'll allow him. He'll put us on the tracks that we need to be on. He'll open people's hearts to us if we try. There's a lot of fear. I'm afraid I'm going to be rejected, so therefore I don't want to look at this, go up to that guy. That one looks mean. I think that one's on drugs, and they just might. Whoa. I think I should hide in my house. Maybe tomorrow I can do that. I'll just go in my house and I'll pray for all of these people. Into my house and pray for me. God, give me strength. Give me courage. Help me to see the joy in each day and the joy that you can give to other people. Help me to smile more. Help me to look like, to look like Jesus. help me to reach out my hand and offer healing touch. Help me to do what you need me to do for them, that they might be your sheep also. It's as simple as that. We can't take a full day and say, I'm taking off today, I'm not thinking about you, not today, God. It's easy to take off and not think about work, isn't it? No, it's not. I can't think of a day that I, in my whole life, that I took a day off and didn't think about the work that was going to be there when I got there. Or as a pastor, or as a chaplain, thinking about, I wonder how many new beds, new patients I've got tomorrow. Priscilla knows, I, you know, come, we go out and go to a movie or something, go out and do something, and then on the way home, she just knows I'm sitting there thinking about tomorrow. So now I just worry about how many feet blades of grass are going to grow. No. We are the sheep. He is the shepherd. He leads us where we should go. Okay? The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. The Lord is my shepherd. He protects me. The Lord is my shepherd. He loves me. The Lord is my shepherd, and I don't have to worry about the enemies. And when I walk through the valley, I will not walk alone but with joy. Because the Lord has said, right there in the scripture, I give them eternal life. You want proof? Jesus on the cross. Look to his left, to the feet. Today you will be with me in paradise. Because you believe. Want proof? You want to test God? Test him by thinking about him all day tomorrow and the next day. Test him by doing those things that are so easy. Smiling, touching, offering hope, joy. Offering an alternative to whatever's happening in the world around you at that point. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is the giver of life. And without the Lord, you're already dead. Pray with me. Oh, gracious and loving God, we praise your name and we give thanks. We give thanks that through you we can know Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Father. That, Lord, when we speak of you, we speak of all three. And, Lord, we just pray that you would continue to guide us and lead us. That you would help us to be your sheep. That you would help us to find the joy in proclaiming your word.